We are glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Today is Palm Sunday. We've referenced it already. It's a special day in the church. It's an exciting day. And if you don't know about Palm Sunday, just sit tight. We're going to be talking about it. I've got a question for you. Here it is. You don't answer this out loud, but I want you to kind of form your answer in your head. Can your faith save someone? Can your faith save someone? We know full and well that scripture that says we're saved by grace through faith. And so our faith comes in contact with His grace, and it saves us. And it's not that we should boast or anything about that, the Bible says. But that's our faith saving us. Can your faith save someone else? I just want you to think about that. Palm Sunday, Jesus enters triumphantly into the city of Jerusalem. He's not in Jerusalem very often. And so He comes into Jerusalem, and He has come for one purpose. He's come to save. But He is going to save in an unexpected way. He's going to save through the cross, and they just did not see that coming. Crowds gathered as Jesus came into the city. He was riding on a colt, on a donkey, right? And this fulfills Scripture. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Yeah. All right. These people, on Palm Sunday, Jesus comes in and they start rejoicing. They start shouting. They start acting very peculiar. The Pharisees were very uneasy about what they were doing. What is going on? I'll tell you what's going on. They recognized Zechariah 9 and 9 being fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And they saw it and they're like, oh my goodness, rejoice, shout, see your king. Here He is. This was their king, and this was their salvation, riding on a donkey. Yeah. Donkey, that's kind of funny for us usually, right? Donkey. Well, let me explain that. Well, beyond being scriptural prophecy, it's symbolic. Riding in to a city, when a king would ride into a city, he could ride in one of two ways. If he rode in on a really big, beautiful horse, it meant that was a declaration of war. Jesus didn't come to bring war. If a king came into a city riding on a donkey, it meant he came to bring peace. Our King has come to bring peace, not war. And these people, they see this king, and they start cutting down palm branches. That's why it's called Palm Sunday. They went to trees, and they cut down palm branches, and they also laid down their cloaks, their garments before him, and he rode across these things on that donkey. This was an amazing moment. It was a moment like Jerusalem had never seen, and it was a time to rejoice. It was a time to just shout out.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Mark chapter 11, 9 through 10. Here's what happens. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna. Somebody shout Hosanna in the house.
Hosanna.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. So they start shouting, and what they start shouting is Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And so the really good question is, what in the world does Hosanna mean? We sing about Hosanna a lot. It appears in songs. It appears in our Christmas carols. It appears in some of our worship stuff. What does the name Hosanna mean? Hosanna is a Hebrew phrase, Yashana. Everybody say Yashana. If you say that enough times, it starts to sound like Hosanna. Actually, they took Yashana and then they just put it in Greek form. All right? So this phrase is only found one time in Scripture other than when they're yelling it in Mark, in the Gospels. It's only found one other time. Here it is, Psalm 118, 25 through 26. Get a load of this. O Lord, save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So once again, let's just point out, these people see Jesus coming, and they see fulfillment, and they go back to their Old Testament. They go back to their Testament. They go to their book of Psalms, and they go, this is that moment. O Lord, save us, and blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna means save us. O Lord, save us. It's a prayer. It's a plea. It's a crying out. Save us. That's what Hosanna means. So these people are shouting, save us, and they're rejoicing. Hosanna is not just a simple, sweet worship song lyric. It's a desperate cry of save me right now. Have you ever had a Hosanna moment? Save me right now. Some of them might have had that moment today. If you've ever had that moment, that's a Hosanna moment. Save us right now. The nation of Israel was under the tyrannical rule of Rome. And they thought Jesus was there to rescue them from Rome. After all, when they look in their history, that's what Moses did. Moses came in and rescued them from a tyrant, Pharaoh of Egypt. So they see this Jesus and they're like, oh yeah, this is great. It's going to be like it was with Moses. This is awesome. That's what they're thinking. They thought that Jesus was there to rescue them from Rome. He was there to rescue them from Rome. However, Jesus wants to do more than what you think he needs to do. You can learn something on this sentence. Whatever the situation, you should know this. Jesus wants to do more than what you think he needs to do. And he's coming to this place. He's not only going to rescue them from Rome. He's going to rescue them from sin. He's going to rescue them from this world. He's going to rescue them from the grave. He's going to rescue them from shame. And not just them, their forefathers. Not just them, all their children. He's going to rescue them.
Amen.
Jesus does more.
Yes.
He does more than what you think he needs to do. In fact, usually, if there's a reason we don't receive from God, it's because we're like, God, I want you to do this right here. And he's like, Is that all you want me to do? Jesus wants to do more. Somebody say more.
More.
Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to His power that is at work within us. He is wanting, He is desiring, He is setting out to do more, immeasurably more.
Amen.
Than anything you can think of, anything you can imagine. According to the power that He's already put inside you, the Holy Spirit.
Jesus.
So these people, they were looking for a political savior. Jesus was there to do more. Maybe you're looking for a worldly savior today. Maybe you're looking at somewhere in your life and you're like, Jesus, save me now from this. I want to tell you, Jesus wants to save you from that, but He wants to do more. What if Jesus wants to do more for you today? Are you willing to walk in that? What if He's got more for you today? Are you willing to go there?
Amen,
when you come to this altar today, God's got more for you than what you expect at this altar.
Yeah.
You know that? Has anyone ever received that? Have you ever experienced that? You walk to this altar, you walk and you worship, and you weren't expecting Jesus to meet you in such a way, but He does.
Yes, He does.
So we have this Jesus. And He's coming to the rescue. Not just then, but now. And not just now, but in the future. He's coming to the rescue. He has heard the cry of Hosanna. He hears the cry of save us now. You know, we've got so many, many scriptures about how the Lord hears us. It says if we ask anything in His name, it's going to be done. It talks in Exodus about a slave falling to the ground and he sighs and he groans. And the Lord hears him. It's time and time again. In the book of Revelation, it clues us in that He's got these vials. They're called vials, and they are collecting prayers of His saints. God hears you. He hears your Hosanna, and He wants to rescue you. He wants to rescue you better than you know how to be rescued.
Amen.
And isn't that the problem that happened in the hearts of the crowd? They were crying Hosanna in Jerusalem nearly 2,000 years ago. And they thought they knew best how Jesus was to rescue them. And then when He kind of differed from their plan, they were like, huh, crucify this guy. He wants to rescue you. He wants to rescue you better than you know how to be rescued.
Yes. Amen.
He wants to rescue you from depression. And you might be surprised how He wants to do it. Isaiah 61:3 tells you how He wants to do it. He will provide for those who grieve in Zion to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. I don't know how you're expecting Him to deliver you and rescue you from depression, but I guarantee you it's going to be very different from what you think. He wants you not only to just be free from the medication and free from all the psychiatric care and free from all those things, free from the voices, free from whatever it is. He wants you to put on praise, clothe yourself in praise. That's where your answer is. What an unexpected place. Has anyone ever experienced that? That joy of the Lord comes and it is your strength.
Yeah. Yes.
When you worship.
Amen. Yes.
He wants to rescue you from sickness, but He does it in an unexpected way. Isaiah 53:5. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. And by His wounds we are healed. What a unexpected way to come to the rescue. But you listen, He came to the rescue.
Yes. Amen.
He wants to rescue you from guilt and shame. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. You want to get free and rescued from your guilt and shame? He'll make you a brand new person. You no longer did those things because that was an old creation. You're a new creation. That's what the rescuer does. And these people, they did not understand. They thought, well, we just got another king. This is great. We have another Moses in our midst. We have another David in our midst. Newsflash, guys, Moses and David are in the ground dead. But what is standing in front of you is a king whose kingdom has no end. He wants to do something in you you don't expect. Will you let him?
Yeah.
He wants to rescue you better than you know how to be rescued, Israel. He's a rescuer, and he knows how to rescue. He's been doing it for a long time.
Yes.
Let's look at his resume for a little bit. Noah knows he knows how to rescue. He rescued him and his family from sin and from a flood. He rescued Joseph. He was betrayed. He was lied. Potiphar's wife lied about him and he was thrown in jail. But the Lord rescued him. Israel, you were slaves, but he rescued you. David, you stood before a giant. You had no business fighting, but the Lord rescued you. The three Hebrew children, they were in a fiery furnace. The Lord stood in the furnace with them. They were rescued. Daniel's in a lion's den, and God, he sends an angel to shut the lion's mouth. He knows how to rescue. You just watch him. Peter, I love this one. Peter, you were on your way to a life that had very little meaning in it. You are going to be another fisherman like all your family was fishermen, one in just a dozen. You throw a stone in Galilee, you'll hit a fisherman. The Lord rescued him from a life of monotony, a life that's just regular, and he put an unbelievable calling on his life. Let me tell you, God has got that for you. He knows how to rescue you. If you're sitting in this place and you're like, well, I just not happy with my life, he wants to rescue you today. He wants to rescue you today. And then Jesus walks on this earth, and there's a dead man named Lazarus. He's dead. And everybody's like, oh, Jesus, if it only would have come sooner. Y'all just stand back, because this Lord knows how to rescue.
Amen.
There's a woman with an issue of blood, and she has gone to every doctor. She has gone for years, and she can't find rescue. But one day, she reaches out, and she touches just the very end of his clothes, and she finds rescue.
Amen.
He knows how to rescue. There's a man named blind Bartimaeus, and he's just sitting by the side of the road, and he doesn't even know where Jesus is because he's blind, but he just hears it, and he just starts crying out, Lord, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the Lord rescued him. There was a woman caught in the act of adultery, and they were picking up stones to kill her, and they had every religious right to do so. But aren't you glad Jesus Christ stepped up and she was rescued? There are lepers that their life is so torn apart physically, but more than that, every other part of their life is torn apart because they're unclean. They can't go into the city. They can't go into the temple. They can't just go anywhere. Everywhere they go, they're hit with a stigma. In fact, they have to announce their stigma. They have to announce, unclean, unclean, look out, I've got leprosy. Oh, but man, some of them ran into Jesus and he rescued them. He made them whole. Aren't you glad that Jesus is to the rescue? Jesus heard their cry of Hosanna. He hears your cry. He's a rescuer. When was the last time you just cried out Hosanna? When was the last time you just cried out, God, I need you to rescue me? And can you relate to the joy of those people that saw the rescuer entering their world?
Yeah.
Remember that first time that rescuer entered into your world. Jesus, the rescuer, is in the house. I am not going to be long today. I want you to pay attention. Mark chapter 2. We're going to read this story. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was laying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Verse 11, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone. And they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Has Jesus ever done something that you just go, "Whoa, I've never seen anything like that done before"? If you don't have a yes to that, you need to look around this room a little bit. Because there are people in this place that represent unbelievable things I've never seen God do before. We asked the question, can your faith save someone? We asked that question. I want you to look at Mark 2 and 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Whose faith? It says their faith. Who is the there? It's the four guys that were carrying the paralyzed guy. There's a paralyzed man. Jesus saw the faith of the ones carrying the paralyzed man. So I'm going to ask you again, can your faith, can it save someone? Can your faith do that? Does that kind of change your idea of faith a little bit? If you know where the rescuer is, and you have faith in the rescuer, you sure better bring somebody to him. These people just had simple faith. We don't know much about these people. We know that there were four of them, and that's about all we know about them. There's just four of them. It doesn't say they were friends with the paralyzed man. See, in Sunday school, I was always taught that they were friends. It's like, "Oh, they brought their friend. That's really nice." Oh, we don't really know that. They're just guys, four of them. We don't actually even know they knew Jesus. We don't know what they did after. We don't know what they did before. We don't know what they did for a living. All we know is that they brought this guy to Jesus. And Jesus saw their faith, and he looks at this guy and said, "Your sins are forgiven, and also you're healed. Take up your mat and walk." Their faith did that. This paralyzed guy, he could never come on his own. He's paralyzed. He couldn't do anything. Jesus, it doesn't say it looked on that man's faith, because he actually hadn't done anything. If you know someone who needs rescuing, it could be that they won't ever get to the rescuer unless you bring them. I want you to think about somebody right now that needs rescuing in your world. There are people all over this world that need rescuing. You don't have to look too far. It could be that they will never find the rescuer unless you bring them. Those four guys simply knew this one fact, that Jesus was in the house. The house was so full they couldn't get the paralyzed man to Jesus. This is a problem. Would you agree? This was a problem, but it did not stop them. I want you to know this, that the people around Jesus can sometimes be obstacles. We church-going Christians, let's just say it, we can be obstacles. Here is a guy who's needing rescuing. They want to carry him into this house, but they can't. Because it's so full, because people closer to Jesus than they are blocking the path. Christians can be obstacles. The woman with the issue of blood, she had to push through people. What people? The people that were closest to Jesus. Sometimes the people closest to Jesus can be obstacles from people that are trying to get to Jesus. Mark chapter 2, verse 4. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. I don't know, most of my childhood, I just kind of thought, well, there's probably a thatch roof or something, and they just kind of, there was like a little opening, and they just lowered him through that. No, it says they dug through the roof. If I just went over to your house today, or your apartment, or condo, whatever you live in, and just started digging through your roof, you're like watching March Madness, you're like, and you start hearing this, and it's just suddenly come through your roof. I'm like, hey, I brought somebody over. That would be kind of far out, right? That would be kind of extreme. That would, but these guys did that. Why? Because they knew the rescuer was in the house. If we can't bring people into the house, I want you to know that Redemption Church is willing to dismantle the house. I want you to learn this. Stick with it. If someone out there is in need of the rescuer in here, but because the house won't let them come in, we are going to put a hole in that house to get them here. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're like, well, Chris, we have chairs, and I know we have more chairs, and we have plenty of room. What are you talking about? They can't get here. Oh, well, let's talk about that. Because it's great that Jesus is in the house right now. But don't forget there are people outside this house that need rescuing. And this is a world that's shouting, Hosanna. But some of these people, they're shouting Hosanna, but they think they're going to come in here and we're going to judge them. And let's be real. There are some churches out there, and there's some culture, church cultures out there where they aren't welcome inside that house. That house is full up, and their kind isn't welcome there. They aren't welcome there. I'm telling you, Redemption Church is going to put a hole right in that. They can come right in. I wish I had somebody that believed that. We are going to dismantle church, whatever you call religion. We're going to dismantle that. If we have to take down doors, if we have to cut roofs, we're going to get people in that. Now, that is a very physical representation of a very spiritual concept. Basically, I'm saying we're willing to do whatever it takes to get people to the rescuer. Amen. If that means we have to dismantle old paradigms of church, we're going to do it. All that matters is getting someone in need of rescue to the rescuer. That's all that matters. Amen. Imagine some people inside the house were very angry. Some might not agree with tearing a roof off of the house. They might have been having these kind of conversations inside that house. How much is this going to cost? That happens in churches a lot. We've got this vision to do something, and then somebody goes, yeah, but how much is this going to cost? And then that like stops it. It happens. Hey, what is this guy doing in the house? He obviously sinned, and that's why he's paralyzed. He obviously doesn't belong here. If that kind of thought, if that kind of talk has happened in church, that's a church with no room. Somebody needs to cut a hole in the roof. Hey, you know, I'm tired. Let's just sing. Why don't we just sing? And can we just sing a certain kind of song that we like and a certain genre of music that we prefer? Let me just ask you this. Do you think that people that are really in need of rescue care what kind of music we play? Do you think the person that is hooked on drugs and they've got no hope and their life is falling apart, their marriage is falling apart and all this stuff, do you think they're going to come in here asking, save me now, please? And they're going to be, well, you know, I would come to that altar and find that rescue, but you know, that music just, what is that? But churches are act like that all the time. Let me just tell you, there will be some things that we do around here that will cause you to worry. We do it often. There will be some things we do around here that you might not like. And we're sorry for that to a certain extent. We really are. We aren't trying to tick you off. We aren't trying to bother you. We are simply trying to get someone to the rescuer. That's why we do that. We aren't trying to be just some cool church or some throw caution to the wind church. We're trying to get someone to the house. And we are willing to do something as extreme as cut a roof wide open. Please help us carry someone to the rescuer. Will you help us carry someone to the rescuer? I'm going to be asking the musicians to come. We're going to be having another time of worship. But I've got some more things to say. Please pay attention to me. It's not about your comfort level. It's about the rescuer. And the calling of the church is to bring people to the rescuer. We've got two really good opportunities to bring people to the rescuer. We got something called Easter next week. We've got Friends Day, April 21st. Why do we do stuff like that? Why do we have a Friends Day? It's so you can bring people to the rescuer. They can come into this place. They can find Jesus. And we're going to have a service right for them. But you know what? None of that makes a bit of difference if you don't bring them to the rescuer. Do you have faith like those men that just, they brought somebody? Some of you, they carried him to the house. Some of you, you just need to carry that person to the house. I'm not telling you you kidnap them, but you press upon them. You need to come to church. You need to come to Connect Group. You need to come learn about Jesus. You need to come meet this rescuer. You need to come meet this person that changed my life. You need to be like that woman that met Jesus at the well. She went into the city and she said, "You need to come meet this guy. He told me everything there was to know about my life."
Amen.
She pressed upon them to come. Will you bring someone to the rescuer? Remember our video that we played at the beginning? There was somebody in need of rescue in that elevator. And those doors would open up, and somebody not expecting this scene would be face to face with somebody that's attacking and somebody that's needing rescue. And you saw some of those people, they just went, "I don't want to get involved with this." And they walked away. Some of those people didn't even look scared. They just didn't want to be bothered. Some of those people wanted to take a picture for whatever reason, maybe to give to the police, but maybe it was just to put on social media. What is up with this world we're living in? But you also saw some people, and they weren't necessarily the most athletic and strong, and they might not have even had something good in their hand to attack. But there was one woman, she got the flowers in her hand, and she started hitting, and she was like, "This person needs rescuing." You know somebody that the doors are opening, and you see them, you're face to face with them. They need rescuing. Redemption Church, Plano, Texas needs rescuing. Our children, our families need rescuing. You're in this house today and you need rescuing. And I want you to know we're not going to walk away. We love you. We have a rescuer here. We have a Savior here, and He's heard your every groan. He's heard your every cry. He's heard you. He loves you. I want to lead you to the rescuer. I want to bring you to Jesus. You need that peace, He's got it. You need that healing, He's got it, He's got it. Last thing I'm going to tell you this. We read Psalms 118. That's where Yeshana appears. And it's a worrisome, urgent cry for rescue. It's like, God, you've got to come, we're dying here, kind of rescue cry. And you can just imagine that. Like that person being choked out in the elevator. But in Mark, in the book of Mark, we see Hosanna. And it's worship. What's the difference? What's the difference? In Psalms, which is a worship book, and Mark, I'll tell you the difference. They saw the rescuer. Psalm, it's a long way off, and God, we're hoping and we're praying and we're longing for that day. But in Mark, they actually saw Him riding in on that colt. And that's where the joy came. They always had that prophecy, but the joy came when they saw Jesus. And the worship came when they saw Jesus. So I'm going to tell you something, and this is the last thing I'm going to tell you. This is why we're about to worship. Because you've been crying and you've been in need of rescue, but you're about to see Jesus show up. He's about to come into your town. He's about to come into your life. He's about to come into your family. And that's when joy takes over. That's when worship begins. That's when it turns from, oh God, save us, to, oh God, save us. Here He is. And we're reaching out to you right now. If you are in need of rescuing, this altar is open. It's open right now. Now means now. If you know someone that needs rescuing, this altar is open right now. We want to pray with you. We want to worship with you. The rescuer is in the room. He's in the room.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at www.redemption-church.com and be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.